Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
54.
55.
55. Sorry. 55. I'm counting in real numbers.
Yes.
Not in 55.
55.
Oh, that's like, that's alive times 10 plus 1.
Yeah.
Johnny 5. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Okay, I was thinking versus. It would be versus times 2.
That's true.
5 versus 1.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's early on a Sunday.
Yeah.
But there's a good reason for this.
There is.
You want to tell them the reason? Why we're doing this so early
on a Sunday? We're doing this early because Bit of Bad Luck is screening at the Rainier Independent Film Festival in the huge metropolis of Ashford, Washington, at the base of Mount Rainier.
Mm.
And I am going to go see it because I was in it.
Is Ashford where that giant nuclear reactor is?
No, that's Hanford.
No, not that one. The one that... I'm trying to remember. I think like Kurt Cobain grew up in the shadow of this
movie. Aberdeen.
Aberdeen. Well, whatever. All right.
But that's Hanford, isn't it?
I don't know. There's
Hanford's not on the east side. No, Hanford's the one down there.
Well, there's one that was never turned on. It was a reactor that was created that was built.
Right.
The cooling tower's built, and it was never turned on.
Never turned on.
And that's the one I'm thinking of. And it's not near Hanford. It's somewhere else.
Okay.
Sort of in that.
I know which one you're talking about, and I cannot remember the name of it.
I can't either, because I don't really care.
Yeah.
So, I guess happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there from these mothers right here.
Yes.
So.
I was not going to broach the subject, seeing as how you're not a huge fan of your mother, and
whatever. It doesn't mean they should all suffer.
No, that's true.
You know,
that's true.
I keep hearing it's the hardest job in the world. That's only if you do it right.
Yeah, that's true.
It's only the hardest job in the world
if you're doing it right.
If you're not doing it right, it's a pretty fucking easy job, and you're fucking it up. I'm just putting that out there.
You came out okay.
Yeah,
through
my own fucking... Dude, it was a lot of work to come out okay.
No, I know. But, yeah. I mean, she didn't do too bad being lackadaisical because you still turned out okay.
You think
that? Now, that's not the way that, you know, it always happens.
Yeah. So, yes, we are a bit dark on the... We're getting some feedback live that we're a bit dark. It's because we're backlit because this is the day.
We can hit the lights.
It's daylight times.
See if that happens.
Yeah, I'll try it. It's still kind of going to be behind us, but...
Yeah.
Didn't do a damn thing.
Nope.
I mean, I can tell from your shadow. It didn't do anything.
No.
All right. Sorry, people on the video. This is for people on the audio. So, a little bit about my week.
Okay.
I'll go first, because I know that you had a pretty exciting week, too.
Yeah.
But first of all, I just completed the second round of notes from Matt Vansel on Humans and Households.
Woo-hoo!
Meaning, fingers crossed, we are potentially at a locked cut of Humans and Households, which means we can start post proper, we can start doing audio, we can start doing effects, we can start color grading, all that jazz. Speaking of color grading, I also spent some time color grading Dark Dungeons this weekend with
Woo-hoo!
Ben Dobbins. And Gabe Gongda, and not Sam Graydon, even though his last name is Graydon. He wasn't there for the Graydon.
Yeah, he wasn't color Graydon.
No. He had other stuff to do this weekend, but it's fine. I think he's colorblind anyway, so.
Oh, well, that
I don't
helps.
Know if that's true. I'm just making stuff up now about Sam.
My dad is. He's a forester.
He's got a clubbed foot. Sam's got a clubbed foot.
And a hangnail.
His left knee bends backwards.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Kind of like a... Is it the ostrich that does that?
What's
the one that...
I don't, the stork? The crane? I don't know. Yeah.
He's one of those.
35 teeth, Sam Graydon has. 35 teeth.
Wow.
Yeah. He was born with an extra finger on his back.
Hmm.
Yeah. Weird guy.
Yeah.
That's what you get for not showing up, man. You get stories made out of a bunch. So yeah, that was I've done a lot of posts this week, which is great. My chickens escaped. I should say Aaron's chickens. They're Aaron's chickens. Well, we had some raccoons coming into the yard, and we think it spooked them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, chickens, it's not that chickens can't fly. Chickens are like Scott. They don't like to work.
Right.
Chickens don't like to fly.
Correct.
If there's a raccoon in the yard, guess what?
They'll fly.
Chickens can fly. So they jumped over, or they flew over an 8-foot-tall fence and just booked when these raccoons were in the yard. So we tracked down one. We thought the second was taken by a raccoon. However, it started raining the day after.
Yes.
And there she was. I want in. I want home. Let me in. Now, they can't fly if they just want to go somewhere. They can only fly if they're, scared. Yeah.
The adrenaline rush.
They are kind of like me. Yeah. I only fly in terror. And it's not. It has nothing to do with being in the air. It has to do with the fact that I don't like being in an airline seat. Flying on a Lear or like a private jet, no problem.
Even
flying with another person, no problem. But I'm in terror because I don't like imposing on other people because I'm a big guy and I hate being on an airline as a big guy because I feel like I'm imposing on other people because they keep making the seats smaller and smaller.
They do.
And that's not, it's not that we're all getting fatter. I mean, that is part of it. But they've measured the seats and the seats have gone down almost 2 inches in width.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the coach seats. Even first class, they've squeezed like an extra couple of rows in first class on a lot of airlines. Fuck you, airlines. I hope all the Comcast execs get on coach and fiery ball, Malaysia, in the water. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm not happy with them either.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, it's only $90. My bill's $142. How the fuck did that happen?
Oh, that makes sense. $142.50. It's a $50 upgrade fee for anything you do with them. Anything.
No. My bill from them is $90.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it costs.
Oh,
yet
fees.
My bill, because they've added on a $5 HD upgrade that I was never informed about, and $10 something or other.
Okay.
And apparently a perpetual late fee that never goes away.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
So yeah, I'm. I'm going to be calling them this week.
Douchebags. Additionally, a lot of our friends are now over in Spokane.
Yes.
Some of them getting food poisoning, but others actually...
Oh, is that what happened to Damon?
Yeah, Damon got food poisoning in Spokane. Told you, man. When you're over there, you stick to brewchies and zips. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be 580 pounds by the time you leave, but
you'll be safe.
No, not really. You're still going to have...
Pita pits, okay.
Yeah. Well, pita pit. Don't I thought we had pita pits here?
I think we do.
It's a chain, yeah. That's everywhere.
Yeah.
Zips is only on the east side.
Yeah.
And Brucci's is only like in Spokane. Period.
Correct.
So, but pita pit. I don't want to go. Yeah. So what I was going to say about that is, if you can get to Spokane, and by we I mean, the Royal We, which is what Seth's new name is, the Royal We.
Okay.
We will post a link to this, but Z Nation has an ongoing call for extras to go be zombies in Spokane. So we'll post the link to the casting call. If you want to get your butt into a sci-fi show, go check it out. I think it's a headshot and a body shot is all you have to send, along with some information.
And by sci-fi show, we mean the SYFY.
Siffy.
Siffy show.
Which is series, Norwegian cable. For a venereal disease. So, yes, a cable zombie show. Because, you know, zombies are fresh and happening.
Yes.
Well, I guess, but literally they are not concept. Fresh. But they are happening.
Yes. Brand new.
Neil deGrasse Tyson actually debunked zombies, which was awesome.
Ah.
On, I want to say, The Daily Show.
It was
pretty funny. He basically talked about how rigor mortis works and how the zombies could... And, there's no need for...
Wow, an astrophysicist debunking zombification.
Yeah, well, zombies, undead zombies. You could still have mindless, you know, like mind control, zombification of living people.
Right.
That's fine. That's all good. That's kosher. Except probably not actually kosher.
There's kosher,
probably a Levitican or Deuteronomian law against it. But
I'm going to guess.
There's one against everything. You ever use the bathroom? You're going to hell. You son of a bitch. So, go to the website that we will hopefully link. I forget that it's a casting company. That's why I don't remember it off the top of my head. You can't just go to, like, Z Nation's website.
Oh,
there's
right.
There's a casting company. I want to say it's Nico who runs it.
Nike.
And we will, or we will, they will ask for a photo of you standing and a headshot and your details, and maybe you'll get on Z Nation.
Cool.
Yeah, it'd be pretty sweet. So, also, Aaron got her car back this week.
Yay!
Oh, dude, no joke. So crazy. Because I don't know if you know this, but her insurance only covered a rental for 20 days. So we haven't had any car for the last 10.
Nice.
Yeah. So that sucks. But
yeah,
she had to transport all of her all of her stuff for her dress, mm-hmm, to and from school. So like bags of electronics
God,
for her ball gown on the bus. That was fun. What are you going to do? Though we did get to try Uber for the first time because of that.
How was that experience?
It sucks that they don't have a Windows Phone app. I'll tell you that much. They would probably get a lot more business from me if they had a Windows Phone app. Mm-hmm. But they don't. So we had to go to the mobile website, which isn't the best experience in the world. The actual Uber experience was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they come and pick you up, and it was, I'd say, probably $5 cheaper than a cab. But it was cleaner. It was all paid up front. It was all no tip.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's taken care of. You know how much you're paying. There's no arguing about credit card, you know?
Yep.
So fucking sick of getting in a cab. Do you take credit cards? Oh, yeah. And then we get there. Do you have cash? No. That's why I asked if you took credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think I was just curious? Did you think I was like... It's like, hey, man, maybe if I say yes, you know.
Are you a Sagittarius?
Yeah, maybe this is a guy from, like, MasterCard, and this is, like, a contest. I'm going to get, like, you know, $100 or something. This is a good idea. This is like cash cab, only in reverse. Cash passenger cab. Ding, 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 ding. It's not.
No.
I just want to know if you take fucking credit cards.
Exactly.
Because I want to get where I'm going, and I don't want to have to fucking carry a wad of cash around so that you can try to tell me you don't have change.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you. Take my credit card.
Yes.
Anyway, that's that story.
Okay.
That was my week. How was yours?
Good.
Wonderful.
I had an audition on Monday for said zombie show on the Siffy channel.
Oh, I thought you had an audition to drive a cab.
No. Bad. Yeah. Lots of people in my neighborhood here have cabs.
That's true.
I've decided I'm not going to have one.
That's very true. Big Fish Northwest, by the way, is the casting company for the Siffy show.
Hmm?
The Extras casting company. Not Big Fish Games.
No. I got that. But that doesn't seem right. Okay.
It is right. That's the site I went to for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Big Fish Talent. That's weird.
Yeah, Big Fish Talent.
I wish Denise Gibbs would have gotten it. Anyway. Womp. That's fine. Either way. Extras casting.
Hey, you can work with Tony Becerra if you go over there and understand our fear.
Yes.
And our hatred.
and our fear.
And why we pee a little.
Yep.
All the time. I don't even stop now. I just keep peeing a little bit because I know that he might call.
You're perpetually urinating on the off chance that Becerra drops
drops
the digits. Okay.
Better than dropping a deuce, I'll tell you that much.
That is true. And then...
I call the skid marks in my underwear Becerra tracks.
I'll wait.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just wanted to see how much dead air we could string together.
It's your podcast. It's like a net. Bunch of empty space just kind of woven together with a couple of threads. A
couple of threads that we try and... Yeah. Loosely hang on to. Wednesday had a reading and a fitting and a tattoo layout for Worst Laid Plans, which is a film I get to shoot. Whole scene on this
nice.
Time. Yes,
nice.
Very excited. 3 pages. And we did a little rehearsal, and the guys I'm working with are awesome. And the reading was great, working with some really good Seattle talent. So check that out, Worst Laid Plans. It's on Facebook. Thursday.
Someone on our video cast downvoted us. You dick.
Whatever.
Whatever.
There's a minute delay. Maybe they'll leave by the time we make that comment.
Yeah, we don't want you anyway. Leave.
Yeah, go. You're just fucking up our numbers.
We have like one thumbs up on every video, and now we've got a negative one?
Wow.
Asshole.
Thursday. Oh, and then Thursday. I went and I auditioned with some of the most awesome people in Seattle for 7.5 hours.
Jesus.
I can't. Those people listening who know what it is know. I can't say anything because we had to sign NDAs about everything. I could say it's Don Thacker's next feature.
Oh, nice.
I believe. I can say that. There are some people that I know who are already in it, and they were reading opposite us, and then some people who are not in it, Moses Olson, myself, Brian Lewis, John Gregory was there, Wonder Russell, Ashley Cozine, Mariah Zook.
Oh, nice. Not related to Dom Zook.
Not related to Dom Zook, but one of our classmates.
Yes. Class, I remember that.
And Rachel.
Oh, nice.
Henry was there. So, excellent. Lots of good people. And, you know, Moses got there at 5 p.m. I got there at 6 p.m. And there was an awful lot of people milling around. And there was an awful lot going on. And on top of all of that, we knew why it was taking long, because Dom was explaining what we'd all just signed NDAs about, so that we knew what we were doing in the scene.
Right.
And none of that could go out early.
Gotcha.
So there was a lot of prep explanation, and as people would come in, that would get explained, and less and less and less as more and more people who had heard it. But he just kept having some of us hang around and reading stuff that we didn't even know we were going to read.
Right.
So it got punchy towards the 1:30 in the morning, you know, when I'm going in there at 1 a.m. and I'm trying to deliver the one character that he wanted me to read for.
Right.
Horribly. It was, I could just be inside my head, but I thought that I just excremented all over the place.
Was Tony Becerra there?
No.
Oh.
No, he's in Spokane, thank God.
You know how we were talking about you don't bring up any of your past to cry or anything like that. You just get in the scene. Yeah, if I have to crap myself, it's always going to be Becerra, 100% of the time. 100%.
Now, crying and crapping, two different things.
Well,
you can use...
They
you
go together a lot.
They do.
Yeah.
But you can use that deep-seated Tony motivation.
That's true.
To help with the excrementation,
right,
which then leads into the crying.
Eat a handful of sunflower seeds with shells on first. You'll be crying. That's real
and
tears.
And then thinking Tony Becerra. the humanity!
I think we've said his name 3 times. We have to be careful.
Right.
He might show up.
We haven't turned around yet, though.
No. He's stuck in your mirror in the bathroom. That's. Let me out. Let me out. I didn't think this through. So I don't know if you've been following his posts on Facebook at all, but he's just loving Spokane as far as I can tell. He's in an unfinished house that's currently under renovation in a sleeping bag on the floor. he's just going to use it to fuel his rage.
Oh yeah.
He's just, that's his motivation. And his hatred.
And if I go over there, I'm going to be like, hey, how's it going? I'm staying in some people's houses.
With beds and like...
Beds and...
They treat
they
me like
me
a
breakfast.
God, yeah.
And
nice.
It was awesome.
But, they gave me this puppy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to... Oh, and then the piece that I auditioned for last Sunday that they called me for,
right,
that we talked about,
right,
was an absolute no-starter.
Oh.
They thanked me for my time and my energy and my unique perspective on the character.
Oh.
So, you know.
Womp.
Monday's audition went really, really well.
Oh, good.
I can say that. And good. Then maybe next podcast I'll be able to say something more. But right now I'm just trying to... I done did myself proud on Monday.
Y'all done did?
All done did.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I should probably talk a little bit about the Indiegogo campaign.
You should talk a lot about the Indiegogo campaign.
So, first of all...
ass kickeriness.
Oh, yeah. We made our goal in 4 hours.
Yep.
We made our first stretch goal in 6.
Yep.
And we blew through 100% of the drive recovery costs by the first day.
Yeah.
And we are now at, I want to say, $2,141. So $2,141 for this drive recovery.
Good Which news. Means we yeah. passed the 2,000 mark.
DVD.
Which means you've got to give over 50 hours of your time.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. But it's going to be fun. That's
yeah,
the thing.
I know.
It's like making an and at DVD is going to be fun.
I'm super stoked.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, but it'll get done. I got news from the drive recovery place.
Yay!
Don't yay yet. So, they were able to recover 2 terabytes of 3.
Okay.
Which means... there's a 1 in 3 chance that what we're looking for is gone for every single piece that we're looking for. Okay, that sucks. That being said, most of what they recovered doesn't have a file name. So we have to go in, rename it .move, you know, find the big files, rename them, see what they are.
Oh,
re-edit, yeah, rename them again.
No.
It's better than not having them, I hope. Now, here's where it gets... So because of that, they cut us an enormous discount. Instead of $1,450 plus $180 for the drive plus the shipping, it ended up they charged me $940. So the remainder, which after fees and everything is about $1,000,
mm-hmm.
is all going back to Andat.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. We're going to do something really cool with that. That being said, if you still want to contribute, go ahead, but do not feel in any way obligated at this point, because at this point you're just contributing to Andat, which is still awesome. Just put that out there. But yeah. Oh, and Tony wanted me to remind everybody that if we get $301,750, Andat will produce Journey Quest Season 3. So there's that.
Thanks, Tony.
But yeah, it was amazing to see that little, because I mean, not a lot of people watch the show, and if you don't, you should.
True.
It's very funny. True that. It's very weird and great and awesome. But to have the people who watch it kick in so quickly and so awesomely, to the fundraiser was great.
Yeah.
So we are not going to be eating canned beans. Well, we might. They're pretty good. Yeah, we're still going to be eating canned beans, but not out of necessity.
No, it's out of artistic integrity.
Yeah, well, you know, they're musical
desire. Yes.
Yeah. So we are going to, take that extra grand and make something kick ass.
Excellent.
I made an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. joke at a party I was at last week.
Mm-hmm.
It did not go over well.
Oh.
Sorry, I don't know. There's no way to explain where that connection came from, but I was
sure.
Someone was talking about how do you make good hummus, and my answer was tahini. It's a magical paste. Nothing. Very sad. So should we get to some questions?
Or do we have any questions? I think I know why the joke failed.
Why?
At least in the retelling, to me, you put the emphasis on magical, whereas Coulson does not. He says it's a magical place.
Mm. So yeah, that's got to be why it failed.
Yeah, because that sounds like, you know, Lucky Charms. So if it was tahini, right, it's a magical paste.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
That would have had a 100% success rate for anyone watching.
Yep. And thank you guys for coming in, by the way, and sweeping up that one down vote with eight up, with eight thumbs up. You guys rule.
Hey, and we've increased our watchership.
We've got seven.
We got
on a Sunday morning.
We got a thumb down, bitched about it, and increased our viewership.
Oh, that's
maybe
awesome.
Maybe they felt guilty and got one of their friends to watch as
maybe,
well.
Maybe, maybe.
Maybe that could be it.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe they have one of those apps that only allows you to downvote and not upvote. Like the anti-Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
No, they don't have those. They're just broken apps. They have a lot of broken apps for YouTube.
Oh.
So let's get to some questions.
Yeah. Do we have any on there?
Connor asked what the number for Andat producing JQ3 was. And Tony incorrectly responded 301950. It's 301750.
Mm.
So you're $200 off the... And actually, now it's even less. Now it would be 3,945. Or 300,945. Sorry.
Right.
Would be the number to hit. So let's get that. I think we have like a week left or something.
Yeah, we could make that happen.
Yeah. No. Not going to happen.
Connor Marks. Marks is watching?
Marks is watching.
Wow.
Marks is going to mind flay people who are downvoting us. He is signed on for that.
That's awesome.
Yes. He is our psychic energy protector right now and seems to be doing a good job.
Good.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was six, not eight. Well, not that good of a job then.
No.
No, it's a pretty good job.
That's the total number of viewers we have. There was a lovely poem posted by the ever-popular Laura Adams.
Oh, yes.
Go look at that on our Two Bards Facebook page.
Was it pagan poetry?
I don't think so. I think it was astrophysical poetry.
That was a Bjork joke anyway. Don't worry about it.
Okay. I don't know Bjork.
She sewed a bunch of pearls to herself in this old video called Pagan Poetry. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bjork. Okay.
She's from Iceland, dude. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
There's like seven last names in Iceland.
Gofjordid?
It's kind of Finland, but all right.
Oh, well. Dennis Nickel writes in, "All right, I'm on episode 38, so I'm getting there. Slow but steady. Since the last few sessions have had a story here and there about home improvement shenanigans, we'd be interested in your most memorable adventure in the home improvement-y type work. Good, bad, ugly, what's you guys' stories?"
Dennis is just on this kick because literally right now, our friend Josh is over from Portland, and he's a contractor.
Mm-hmm.
So Dennis's house is being renovated, and this is where he lives right now, is in home improvement hell. So that's why he's asking. Do you have a good one? I have one.
I do.
Okay.
It led to my back surgery.
Let me go first. Mine's not that bad. So mine is up until October of last year, I'd only ever rented. Just rented.
Right.
Homes. So you don't renovate homes you rent unless you're stupid. And I am terribly, terribly stupid. So one of the issues we had with our apartment that we were in most recently is everything, every single outlet and every light. The refrigerator and stove were on their own circuits, but everything else was on one 15-amp circuit.
Oh, right, the place in Cap Hill.
And if you know anything about electricity, that is about enough to run a toaster and a black-and-white TV. So,
at the same time,
what is a girl to do? I looked at the panel and found that there was a 20-amp circuit unused. We had one 20 amp that went down to our water heater. We had one 20 amp that went to our stove and refrigerator.
Yep.
And then finally we had an unused 20 amp and then the one 15 amp for the rest of the apartment. So I wired up that 20 amp to our computer area. Now you shouldn't wire standard outlets to a 20 amp fuse or a 20 amp breaker.
Why?
Because if you short anything, 15 amp is generally accepted for standard load household outlets. 20 amp is something you use for something big.
Okay.
You know. So like for example, your TV, if you get a 19 amp spike, on that line, you're probably going to fry something. You know, 15 amps, it'll cut off, but it won't at 19. Or it won't at 20, rather. It's, you know, I mean, so it's 20 amp is it's a lot of, it's a lot of juice.
Mm.
So I didn't care. I cracked open some, there was wiring already in the apartment that had never been hooked up to anything. It had just been run. I opened it up. Whoever put it in, it was all red. There were no, they didn't put in separate colored wires for anything, for the ground, you know, and for,
oh,
and for,
wow.
Yeah, for hot and for ground.
Okay.
And yeah, so that was fun because I had to figure out which one was hot, which one wasn't, loop all that up. I got it. I finally got it all hooked up. And when our computers were both running, the panel would buzz. I mean, we had a lot of energy. I mean, I've got a 1200 watt power supply in my computer. My monitor is the size of a small city.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron's monitor at the time was a full-sized HDTV.
Mm-hmm.
She's got, I think, a 1,000-watt power supply. And you saw our storage. We had, like, five different external physical, like, spindle hard drive enclosures. So
plus routers and...
It was expensive.
Yeah.
Power-wise. So it would buzz some of the time. That's not good. So that's my home improvement story. I'm a very dangerous person for computers.
I have three.
Do it.
Two are very quick. One was when I was still at VSG. I had, speaking of outlets, I had one outlet. One in my office that I could plug things into. And it was behind the mammoth desk that I moved in. It was one of those three-piece desk units that has the nice cupboards, and you know, I felt like an executive when I had this. It was literally the front end of the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Was my desk, and it was awesome. And I was like, oh hey, there's the outlet. We didn't sink. Plugged in a strip,
uh-huh,
and went, haha, I am so intelligent. What more could I possibly want? Except that when I turned the back area into my workstation for repairing computers, I had nothing to plug into. And so I kept looking down and seeing this outlet and asking my boss for a year to please get it turned on.
Right.
And it never did. He had an electrician friend who'd come in and done everything else and had since come in and done other things.
Right.
But not this. So I finally got sick and tired of it and went back to where the panel is. There were five.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked through to find out where things were in the office, and I couldn't. So I just said, well, you know, so long as I don't cross the streams, I'm okay. So I attempted to live exchange the outlets. I'm wondering if that's why my shoulder is hurting to this day.
Yeah.
But I took a jolt that probably... yeah, never do electrical work by yourself.
No.
Always have someone there.
Yeah.
Or have someone on a, I'm going to text you every 15 minutes. When I don't, call the paramedics.
Right, exactly.
Which I didn't have. I was in an office building in the far corner on a weekend by myself.
Wow.
Would have been a long time. But I was fine. The other one was, I was painting. This is too bad painting the color gray experiences with a ladder. So the first one is I'm painting my childhood home.
Yeah.
We went from a brick red, rust red color, which was really nice on the house, to sort of a Cape Cod gray, which was equally nice on the house. And we did, you know, some forest green.
Mm-hmm.
Accents. It looked really nice. So I was on the back wall, and luckily this house is only a single story house, so the ladder's not up very far, but you've got an attic,
right?
And it's one of those weird ranch style where the peak runs this way over most of the house, mm-hmm, and then on part of the house it runs the other way. For those of you watching, for those of you at home, just go with me. So I'm in a taller area, higher than the ceiling of the interior, but lower than the roof, and I've asked my dad to please step on the bottom of the ladder so it doesn't move because I'm in a flower bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the earth is
soft.
Soft and hard. Right. And so I go up and he's standing on the ladder and I'm painting and my mom and my sister are home and the phone rings and it's for Dad. And this is a time when there are such things called cordless phones. But they don't bring it out to Dad. They call Dad. Dad walks away from the ladder. I find that one corner was in a soft patch, and I just rode that baby all the way down the side of the house.
Nice. Did you keep the paintbrush on the house so it made the nice little swath?
No. All the stuff I painted had a nice swath of the ladder going through and scraping the paint. So, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
But the worst one I had was when I was in Spanaway, and I was painting the house, rented a sprayer, sprayed everything.
Right.
It was great. Again, a lighter shade of gray, not quite Cape Cod, more of a slightly cloudy Washington gray. And I was painting the eaves, and I needed to get that far corner, and I decided I'm not going to move the ladder. I could do it from here. So I turned around from my right side to my left side, holding onto the ladder to...
You're talking away from the mic right now.
To, well, see, I'm trying to give the Doppler effect of what's actually happening.
Okay, all right.
So I've turned away from the ladder, which you can hear audibly now. And all of a sudden, I felt this really... I felt, air quotes, a pop in my lower back, and then this really warm liquid sensation.
Ooh.
And felt my back because I thought something had dropped on it, paint or something, and it was dry. And I knew that this was now an internal sensation and probably not the best sensation to be having on top of the ladder. Luckily, I decided to continue to finish that last little nagging spot, got it done, climbed downstairs, walked into the house. I did not stand upright for 6 months.
Wow.
I had a perpetual Charlie horse in my right calf.
Oh, jeez.
Right thigh. And the doctor finally had force admitted me to the hospital. Mm. And I got a cortisone shot. They're very expensive.
Yeah, they are. They are magic.
They are magic. And they have to put you out, or they put me out.
Mm.
And I remember climbing onto this really weird table with a lot of metal on it that was surrounded in what looked like rubber cement globules because it's where the pressure points are.
Right.
And I was like, I really don't do well with needles, so they gave me a little concoction. Well, that concoction cost $1,000.
Oh, boy.
Just for the concoction, but whoo, it was good concoction. Because I was out. Yeah. Nice. And then I was standing upright for about 9 months. And then it seized again. Okay. And then I went in for surgery.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they took care of it. What was it, like a burr or a...
No, I had herniated L4, L5 or L5, L6.
That's what I thought. I mean, you felt the warm... That's what I thought.
Yeah. They said it burst and
so
it was ugly.
Connor actually has a question for us live.
Ooh.
And he says... both of you have made transitions from high-paying jobs to periods of unemployment. Yes.
Hmm.
as artists trying to make work during both of these periods, what are the big differences? How is the process of making work altered by the various factors of money, time, etc.? So, and having done both, what advice can you give creators about managing their own money, both as used for the creation of art as well as for basic happy living? So,
ooh, wow, God.
Have rich friends.
That's a whole podcast.
It is. It really is. Having wealthy friends is a huge
Or help. Spouses.
Or spouses. Or just having a spouse who can at the very least take care of your basic needs.
Yes.
As long as you have a roof and food and bills paid, it's not as bad. What you find is when you're in that situation, your own sweat equity suddenly becomes... your pay. I mean, what you're willing to put into creating art at that point generally goes through the roof because you don't have any other way to get things done.
Right.
You know, not in a sustainable or respectable sort of way. You can still beg, borrow, and steal a lot of times, but mm-hmm. that doesn't go for very long. You can't do that forever.
No.
What it does mean are, and Connor, you actually gave me this, this is just a great way of putting what the difference is like having a job that pays more than you need and having a job that barely pays what you need. We were talking about this at Gen Con, and it's the juice analogy. It's when you have a job where if you want juice, you go to the store and get juice, you're in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Juice is fucking expensive, right?
Yeah.
Normally, you want juice, you're like, well, maybe I'll get some next week or something like that, or maybe I'll, you know, go, like, if I'm on a shoot, I'm going to grab some of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in a position where, man, I want juice, I'm going to go get juice, you're probably in good shape. You stop getting juice, ultimately. If you,
yeah.
if you're drinking, you know, you're going and getting a pack of Kool-Aid and some, and whatever the cheapest, most generic looking sugar you can get is, and that's your juice when you are unemployed but still trying to make art.
Yes.
So that's my experience. Mine didn't go very long, luckily. But it's not easy. I mean, you know, some people obviously make way too much money. And I don't mean too much in like they shouldn't make that much. I just mean they make a shit ton of money
yeah.
doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't.
Right.
Most people, yeah. we're talking people who are in major productions even.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily make a lot of money. What's her name? Is it Nina Hedley? The Cersei Lannister?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely broke. She's bankrupt. She is in Game of Thrones. She was in Dread. She's in major, major productions, and because of a bad divorce and a couple of other, bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just assume that the people on the screen are doing extremely well because, dude, shit is tough.
Yeah.
There was a story from the guy, from the director of Breaking Bad, how he would bring, he had an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
but that's like the limit of what he could afford. So on set, he would put his iPhone in a styrofoam cup because it would amplify the sound. And that's how they listen to music on set. Because he didn't, you know, it's like, well, why don't you just get a Bluetooth speaker? Well, that's $180 I don't have.
Yeah.
So you get a styrofoam cup. I mean, it's tough, but you will do whatever you need to do to continue making art. In mm-hmm. fact, when I was unemployed, I have to say I did more. I did quite a bit more in terms of actually getting stuff made or, well, getting stuff filmed.
Yeah,
I did more in terms of getting stuff filmed than I do now that I'm employed and have the means by which, like the financial means to do it. So now I'm switching over to having other people get stuff made.
Right.
Here's like $500. Go make something. So.
For me, I've had a number of periods artistically challenging while unemployed. Usually in the early times it was doing theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at that point, married at least, and had some money coming in. The funny thing was that when I was employed early on and later on in the marriage, my income went to pay for everything,
right?
And someone else had funny money, and then when it, you know, when they had to pay everything, there was an added level of stress
mm-hmm.
of having to deal with that dynamic of I don't have my funny money anymore, and what are you doing? And I'm like, well, I have a web business and I'm trying to do this and I'm actively, you can see I'm not lying to the unemployment people. I am making over 3 active searches per week for work, and it's not there right now. This was in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it really sucks. But I did theater because I needed something that made me happy,
right,
and gave me a creative outlet. And now I have made the choice to not look for employment while chasing a creative career,
right.
And I started teaching an acting class to help bring in some money. I've been encouraged to open by the property manager here, children's classes.
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
But yeah, it's a styrofoam cup and Kool-Aid. You know, I know that I have been lucky enough to have a nice savings account that I have made a plan and talked to my dad about that.
Right.
You know, this is my time. And it's equated by that account. And that time is a limiting factor in how long I will have a roof over my house.
Right.
Now, I could take the other route, which is liquidate everything that I have and go live in a shack.
Right.
Which there are a number of people that do that.
Right.
I am not a personality type that can do that. I need to have some creature comforts. I need to feel safe and secure. And so that limits how long that time could be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could potentially double that time.
Right.
By moving out of here and going into a shack. Mm-hmm. But with that also comes a lot of times some depressive feelings you know, I don't have anything going on. I just went through 5 auditions and nobody wants me. Mm-hmm. I'm not worth anything. And if I went home to a gray little shack that contained me and a laptop, I'd go fucking bonkers, but at least I can come back here, get a tub of ice cream, and sit down in front of my TV and, you know, at least know that there's something okay in the world besides a friend on the end of the phone, which I have used a number of times. But I think
that's a get out of hell free card.
It is. I think you just look at, okay, what do I have to work with? And that becomes your new parameters.
Right.
And the more that you can bring in by doing work here and work there, and maybe it's work that you wouldn't normally do, but it's not, okay, I wouldn't rule that work out, but I'm talking about, you know, bad film or...
If it gets you another 6 months, taking a shot in the mouth is absolutely a viable option.
That's true.
Yeah.
I just don't have that option right now that I know of. So if anyone knows, don't call me.
No.
So yeah, good question, Connor. Very good question.
Oh, I just remembered while you were talking that we do have another project that started up this week that is awesome. And it started from a Facebook post, caught fire. We are going to be making, and this is obviously like it's in the early phases, but we are going to be making a Kentucky Blue Clay themed LucasArts style adventure game.
Oh, DG, I thought it was sanctioned. The ST thing.
Oh, well, do you want to talk about? Oh, that thing. So my friend Brandon wrote a script. Well, he's written a small universe within the Star Trek universe, and we have a preliminary script that a number of people have expressed interest in. So we're also trying to get that produced. That's for sure. I didn't want to until we had a little bit more solid production schedule or production.
Sure.
I will definitely talk about that one next
week.
Probably.
I didn't know that the game was moving forward. I just saw some early posts and that was it.
Don like immediately made a like a little project management space for us, and and we've already got people piping in. We've got a number of game developers. We've got artists that are already talking about it. Matt's already talking about it. I can't wait because this has been a dream of mine since I was probably 14. Specifically, a LucasArts style adventure game. Specifically. And Kentucky Blue Clay is absolutely the character for that. So the way this happened is I was doing some work from home, and I had Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade playing in the background. And Indy did something, and I was like, that'd be funnier if Kentucky Blue Clay did it. Man, wouldn't that be cool? And then I posted this post, and immediately, like, people just started piling on. And then it became, you know, it kind of got critical mass, became its own thing. And yeah. I am super excited, super stoked about that. Anyway, so that's, I just wanted to interject that before I forgot about it. Tony also says you're worth a million, Scott.
Thanks, Tony.
A million what? I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
Yeah. Is that like a million dollars from Chad? Or
you're worth a million pesos, which means $1.17.
No, I'd take a million pesos in a heartbeat. But $1 million from like Zimbabwe or something, where the money is like it's like $8 billion for a soda. Not so much.
Dennis Nickel also writes in later.
Of course.
What is each of you guys' favorite martial arts film? Why is that? Wah yeah.
Good. Equilibrium. Gunkata, dude. It's a martial art. Pew pew.
I don't remember Equilibrium.
What? He said indignantly. Christian Bale, Tay Diggs, dystopian future. They're clerics.
Oh, right. Yeah, you told me to go back. The last time that we talked about this, and then I went back on Netflix and tried to watch it.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
No, I tried.
Okay, well, I've got it on DVD.
I either watched it or I tried to watch it.
Oh, it's not like you tried and it wasn't there. It's like you didn't like it.
Correct.
Well, you're dumb.
I could have been watching it like late at night when I was too tired to, you know, get my brain to work.
Like Christian says, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You're stupid, and you're ugly, and you're wrong. Equilibrium is the Matrix movie the Matrix would have been if they didn't have any money, but had really good... Now, in fairness, the guy who wrote it went on to write Ultraviolet, but Equilibrium...
I liked Ultraviolet.
I'm leaving. We're done. We're done here.
I've told you that. I like the Mila Jovovich.
Jovovich.
Milano, whatever.
Milano Jovanovich.
Mila. Mula.
I think it's
Jojoba bitch.
Mila Jovovich.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. I don't know.
I like her boobies.
It's her boobies?
Like her movies.
Okay, I heard boobies.
I know you did. All right. But it's like Kate Beckinsale. You know, I love the Underworld movies because not that she's eye candy. It's not that. It's just I like her in that situation. Tomb Raider.
A vampire pulled a helicopter out of the sky. He wasn't holding on to anything.
I know.
He just apparently weighed 80 trillion pounds.
Yes.
All right.
He has a center mass that is greater than that of a flying helicopter.
Yeah.
Or Angelina Jolie. I don't like her in everything. Girl Interrupted was great. But then you watch her as Lara Croft in Tomb Raider, and it's just like, that really, for me, clicks.
Well, I can't say much. I liked Wanted. Speaking of Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that just shattered people's dreams.
Yeah, well, we have a bunch of you're fired. So, congratulations.
Fine. I don't care.
All right.
I'm entitled to my opinion.
So what's your favorite martial arts movie, then?
I don't really... everyone will say it's a cop-out, but I'm going with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That's not a cop-out.
Just because visually, it was the first time I'd ever experienced anything like that.
Okay.
It was poetic. Mm-hmm. It was so well shot. The magical... I've heard Asian stories before. I've mm-hmm. seen the art in Korean art and Japanese art, mm-hmm. Chinese art, of, you know, these floating battles and stuff. And I just thought the realization in that movie of those things, of standing on a blade of grass and skipping across water, I mean, that was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Now, I just watched 47 Ronin.
Mm-hmm. And?
Visually stunning. I called it. Keanu Reeves sucks. Mm. Sucks the air out of every fucking thing he's in ever, except Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Right.
And the other one that I like is Hong Kong. The Western almost musical.
Oh, Kung Fu Hustle.
Kung Fu Hustle.
Well, okay, anything by Stephen Chow, that's like an immediate... But I think they're... Like, I don't know. those are in a completely they're in their own genre. So amazing. It's a Warner Brothers cartoon meets a kung fu movie meets an amazing slapstick comedy. Stephen Chow is just fantastic, except for whatever Planet 53 or whatever the hell that thing was about the alien. Forget that one. Other than that, great.
Is that the animated one?
Well, it had computer animation in it, but it wasn't animated itself. I am going to say that if you liked Crouching Tiger, you should definitely check out Hero. Because, hands down, Hero is, to me, like three steps up from that. It's it's beautiful, beautiful choreographed ballet fighting like in Crouching Tiger. But the story and the imagery and then the secrets in the color, there's like there are secrets in the coloring as to what's real, what's a lie, what's truth, what's not. It's amazing.
Jet Li.
Yes, I think so. I don't remember.
Okay, that's not the last movie, martial arts movie he was going to make, right?
I don't know. I to me, Hero, I don't remember a single person in Hero. I remember scenes. I remember flowing everything, like just white and red and green and just amazing stuff.
I remember most movies.
The Raid, which is Indonesian or Filipino, I forget. Filipino, maybe. Okay. You've seen Dread, the new Dread, not the shitty Dread. So it's like Dread, but with normal cops, who I mean they're normal, but they're obviously badass martial art. Well, one of them's a badass martial artist. The rest are cops. Basically, they're locked in a not an apartment, but almost like a little apartment complex. It's got so it's fucking great because you get to see like all these little pieces of people's lives too as they bust through their walls.
Cool.
The Raid, awesome. I've heard The Raid 2 is great. I haven't seen it yet. Connor brings up Ong Bak, which I've still got
I was gonna say somebody gets to say Ong Bak, please.
Yeah. But I mean, okay, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. Those are my favorites for fighting, the ones that I was talking about.
Right.
My favorite for story, hands down, is Karate Kid. Because while it's not a martial arts...
The original, I'm hoping.
The original.
Okay.
It's Rocky for kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I like Rocky, that's a good martial arts movie. Because that's a fucking art. It's a martial art. Boxing.
True.
You know? So those are great, great films. And I love them for story.
Well, if we're going to go there, then I'm going to say... Grudge Match.
All right, take it.
Because that was hilarious.
I like the
Raging Bull versus Rocky.
Yeah. Speaking of Jet Li, I liked Unleashed a lot too. That was a Cockney British martial arts movie.
Oh,
loved that,
that was,
one.
Yeah, that was
Bob Hoskins.
Brutal.
Now I'm sad again.
Yeah.
So,
and Paula Moran writes in three times today. Which was great because she's like me. I'm trying to do this by my phone. I'm not quite sure which way to make it work. So I'm going to hit everything, which was awesome. Besides acting and tech, what would be your dream jobs? Winning the lottery.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Or reception work. I want a job where I can go do good.
Is trust fund kid? Is that a job?
No.
You know what? I'm wishing, right? So yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
I want a job where I can.
I guess that's. Is that tech? Producing?
No, that's not tech.
I'll take producing then. Like rich producer.
Yeah, I would take that too, a creative. But if I had to take a job, I'd want something. I've worked with. MRDD in society home work, so houses in the community with special needs people, and fighting forest fires. Those were the two jobs where I actually felt I was making a difference and felt good doing it. If I could do a job that didn't that wasn't as physically demanding. Sorry, I said that wrong. That wasn't physically demanding, period. and I could leave at the end of the day and just go, okay, I'm done.
Right.
And not, oh, what do I have to do on that website? Oh, I should have reconfigured that server another way, or someone's going to call me at 1 a.m. when something goes down. I want to be able to walk away from it and make not an obscene amount of money, but I want to be able to buy juice three times a day if I want.
You're wishing, dude. Wish for obscene amount of money. Wish for just, you're wishing.
Okay. I want to be really comfortable. And by that, I mean,
I want money.
Someplace with a cerulean blue floor that I can go snorkel in and temperatures no higher than 80 and no lower than 67.
At night, 62. While,
sure.
While sleeping.
Yeah.
For me, it'd be 62 to 72.
I was trying not to be too much of a pussy, I'd be at 62 to 72.
I want so much money they have to blur it out when I'm on the news. I want so much money a duck with spats is going to try and dive into it. But now keep in mind, uh-huh, I wouldn't keep that money. It would immediately go out to a lot of people.
Yes.
But I would love to make enough money to make other people wealthy as well.
Yeah.
And to get the stuff produced that I want to produce. That's how obscenely wealthy I would want to be if I was wishing about wealth.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't live much differently than I do now. I would live a lot easier than I do now. But I would still...
True that.
You know, I'd still be spending all my time on my computer and doing, you know, and editing and whatnot. The difference would be my juice would be squeezed into my mouth
By nubile.
Yes. Or even not nubile. Whatever they had on the shelf. I don't think that works. You can't do that. You can't just go down to like a brothel or that one, my house.
Why are they on a shelf?
The shelf was figurative. It was a figurative shelf.
Okay.
I don't actually know how to shop for female house workers that are naked.
Craigslist.
Oh, okay. What's the joke? It's for Craigslist, if you want to get a hand job or an old couch. It's pretty true. Laura Adams asks, do you have a movie that is absolutely horrible but you still love? Howard the Duck. Hands down, Howard the Duck. Someone's hammering.
I got rhythm. Yeah.
No, they don't have rhythm, though. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but there's someone pounding. Maybe they're making an Iron Man suit. Only there's not a lot of riches here. Maybe it's an aluminum man suit.
Yes. I'm sure that there is one. I'm sure that I named many of them previously where everyone told me I was fired. Like Ultraviolet.
You didn't name a few of them.
Or Green Lantern.
What?
I like Green Lantern.
Oh. You're double fired.
It's an amusing movie.
Scott, you're rehired. Thanks. Just kidding, you're fired.
Oh.
Oh, my God. No joke. That is...
So there you go.
It's an amazing movie if you like looking at Ryan Reynolds' V. I'll agree with that. You know, the muscle V?
Oh.
Yeah, if you like that, great movie. If you like Green Lantern...
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know any of the mythos or the pathos or the history or anything.
Speaking
of
mythos, here's one that I hate, that I will never like, but I do like the original, and the original is terrible, and I still like it. Clash of the Titans.
Oh, God.
The original Clash of the Titans is absolutely terrible. It's awful and awesome.
And awesome.
So great.
Harryhausen.
Harryhausen, yeah. The new one.
And its sequel.
What? Oh, right. I forgot. Well, they paid a lot for that fucking that sparkle effect.
Yes.
And I don't think that J.J. Abrams could get all of it shoved into another Star Trek film, so they had to use it somewhere.
Yep.
Oh, Liam Neeson. You make a brother cry.
And dude from Australia.
Yeah.
Waterston.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
If you're listening.
And please be listening.
Please. I was listening to
you. We know you're coming
here
in September. We know you're coming back in September.
Yes.
Come on our podcast.
And you were talking about... oh, crap. I was listening last night in the car.
Oh, not zombies, I hope.
No, it wasn't about zombies. Okay. They were talking about how Walter Cronkite, you could trace back the ruinization of television news to Walter Cronkite as being the first cult of personality. Unknowing.
Right.
It's not like, what's his name on CNN now? Anderson Cooper.
Right.
360 Coop. No, I mean, Walter Cronkite, people invited him into the living room. People went home, ran home to watch Walter Cronkite deliver the news. And he didn't try to be a personality. He was just trusted. We believed everything that came out of his mouth. And he wasn't trying to be that way. I don't think Dan... I still like Dan Rather. I don't care. I loved his little colloquialisms. You know, God willing and the creek don't rise. We'll see you tomorrow or whatever. You know, those are great. But now we've got where the personality is superseding the news. And they were talking about something about space and news and how, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, you know, well, the universe is X years old, and people can go, and he goes, but I make the statement, I believe the statement to be true, and I move on. People can argue it, I don't care.
And that's the way it is.